All right, we're back. Rangers podcast number 3. Chris Lopresti along with Boomer Esiason before the big July 4th weekend. A little vacation time for you coming up. So we figure good opportunity to kind of take stock of everything that's happening in Rangers land. It's been a little bit. We've had the Chris Kreider trade, the Keandre Miller trade, the signing of Vladislav Gavrikov. So a lot going on in Ranger world. First couple of days of free agency here coming off the NHL draft as well.
Well, I think Chris Drury basically is one. He has gotten rid of some money. He unfortunately got rid of one of my favorite players in Ranger history. I didn't want to see that happen, but I understood why it happened. I know Mike Sullivan went to Sweden to go see, you know, our buddy Mika Zibanejad. A lot of moving parts, and I do like the Gavrikov signing. And the reason I like this is because he will be the perfect complement to Adam Fox. So they're going to be the number one pair. And then after that, I still think we're a little bit light. I don't necessarily know that Carson Soucy is a guy that, you know, I want here right now, but he's going to have a chance under a new coach to kind of show whether or not he belongs. And, you know, and there are a lot of players that we still don't really know about, whether it be Edstrom, Rempe, Gabe Perreault. Think about that. So There's still a lot of question marks. And the one big thing still hanging over the franchise's head right now that I see is, what do you do with Panarin? Is there an extension coming? Or do you wait and see what Edmonton is doing with Connor McDavid? And is that the big fish that everybody, well, I would think that everybody would want here starting next year, because I don't think you'll be able to get him this year. But that could also be in the offing when you're thinking long term here with the New York Rangers.
That was interesting. Obviously, I would imagine, should it come to that and McDavid gives word or the impression that he might be open to go into the market or leaving Edmonton, that the Rangers would be on a list of teams that would obviously be interested. And you bring up Panarin. Larry Brooks wrote that he thinks they should extend Panarin now, heading into this last year of his contract. He was talking about a 3 or 4 year deal for between 10 and 12 million bucks entering next season, not this season. He'll be almost 35 years old. Now, he's been ultra productive. But what was interesting to me and didn't make a lot of sense, unless I'm not doing the math right, he said that they should bring Panarin back and then also try to add McDavid.
That would mean that they would have to trade Mika.
Sure. But even so, if you're signing Panarin for, you know, double-digit $1 million per season, obviously McDavid's going to get a ton of money wherever he ends up.
He's going to be the highest-paid player in the NHL. And remember, the salary cap is going up significantly.
It is, but they've already extended guys built into the fact that the cap is going up.
You know, again, it would have to include a trade.
Yeah.
Or somehow, some way, Panarin is not here.
Sure.
And then, of course, the reason he's not here, then that would free up more money for them to go after Connor McDavid.
In that scenario, that makes more sense.
Hey, look, I still think this is like a 5% chance that this happens, although, you know, we've seen this happen before in the NHL, and guys get a little bit frustrated, and you listen to Connor McDavid after they lose to the Florida Panthers, and you wonder just how happy he is in Edmonton and who's in his ear and where should he go. And quite frankly, they traded the greatest hockey player we ever had seen, Wayne Gretzky, to Los Angeles. So anything is possible in this day and age of sports. And like, I wouldn't hold out hope that it's going to happen. I would actually expect them to extend Panarin if I'm going to be realistic. And then maybe try to trade Mika if they're going to try to make something happen with McDavid when he finally reaches free agency.
That's the sort of thing.
And remember this, I want to say. So we've seen both the Rangers and the Maple Leafs this offseason make a trade. And it was a sign-in trade.
Yes.
And the reason they do the sign-in trades is so the players can get 8 years.
Instead of seven.
If they don't do the sign-in trade, then they can't get 8 years. They only get seven. But the team that does the sign-in trade, in this case the Maple Leafs and the Rangers, they receive assets back for that sign and trade. So that's smart. That's a way to protect yourself. So you could say for, let's say, Panarin, you could keep him through next season, let him, you know, on the cusp of free agency, do a sign and trade and trade him as well. So there's always that aspect that you can do that, but most likely you would want to keep Panarin. You'd want to bring in McDavid. And if Mika has a down year and things start to sour for him around here like they did for Kreider, then they may convince him to take a move to some other team and city.
Well, that's the key for me when we talk about everything that's happening, the possibility of next summer with McDavid and what might happen and what's going on with Mika right now. Because the last time we talked, and we were kind of, this was after Mike Sullivan was hired, we were trying to figure out you know, the puzzle pieces, what moves might they make to free up money and change things around. And we both agreed that as much as it would be nice to take that $8.5 million off the cap for a guy that had a down year, it probably wasn't going to happen. And you already referenced Sullivan going over to Sweden to visit with Mika and his wife, and they're trying to figure out how to get him back on track mentally and physically. So while the McDavid storyline is an interesting one, to me, as I look towards this next season and getting them back on track to where they were, that's like the last thing you want surrounding it, because they need, if they're going to get back to the playoffs and be a legit contender, they need the version of Mika Zibanejad we saw a couple of years ago as opposed to the last
year. And plus, he'll be a winger with JT Miller. And
are you certain that's the way they're going to go?
I think that they're probably going to start with him as a wing. There's no question in my mind. I would think that it's going to be JT Miller, Will Cooley, and Mika Zibanejad. That would be the first line. And then the second line, of course, would be then
Trocheck, Panera, and Lafreniere.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then after that, the bottom six.
That's where
are
third line
be the
center
six.
Becomes something that they still have a need for.
Well, you have Parson in, and you have other players like that. You know, look, every one of these bit players has to play their part, and they have to be able to do multiple things. And I do think the Rangers do have some flexibility there. I'm just not sure about all three D pairs. And I know, like, it's amazing. You trade Keandre Miller to the Canes. You read the Canes' reactions, or the fan, Canes fans' reactions, that they think they're getting the next, you know, Nico Mikkola. Like, this guy is going to be really physical. He's big. He's a great stick handler and a big puck handler. Yeah, but not in front of his net. He's not.
Yeah.
And I think Ranger fans really got frustrated with him. And it's one of the reasons why we all react, I think, in unison, whether it be Trouba, and then we find the next guy, and then there's the next guy we look at, and we got to get rid of this guy. We can't bring him back. And you have to look at the assets that each of these teams are able to trade. And, you know, he became a commodity. And they got back two draft choices and
first
a young
D-man. Second rounder and who was considered one of, if not the top prospect in the Carolina system.
That's a great job by Drury, assuming that he doesn't come back, Keandre Miller doesn't come back and kill us in the playoffs.
Which could happen. I mean, that's why I'm sure the Hurricane fans are excited, because they see the potential and the upside the way we did for years waiting for Keandre to realize it. Maybe down in Raleigh as opposed to New York City, that happens for him. Playing for Rod Brind'Amour, it wouldn't shock me. So that's why a lot of Ranger fans I was talking to were like, did they have to trade him in the division? But when you look at the return that they got, which
it's
referenced.
It's a different story, and they're trying to rebuild assets for something. There could be a big trade in the offing somewhere along the line next year, and that's what they're trying to do, recoup some of the assets that they've lost, take a look at some of these contracts that maybe they can move, and hopefully continue to build the team. You know, when I think about it, like, so our second pair right now on defense would be Soucy and Borgen.
Now, the wrench in that, you're right if you're going lefty-righty.
Yes.
However, there's been rumblings all throughout the offseason, and again, after the Keandre trade and the addition of Gavrikov, they're talking about Braden Schneider playing on his offside, so on the left.
So maybe they move him
second
up.
Second pair with Borgen, and then on the third pair, you'd have Morrow, who's a righty D. That'd be perfect. Third pair for a young player who's got some offensive upside to his game. He was a scoring defenseman in college in his first year in the AHL.
Bakkanainen
or Soucy, and they can battle it out for that third pair left spot.
So those are the seven defensemen we think that will be on the
team. Zach Jones is gone to Buffalo.
Right,
so
exactly.
That's
as the team starts now rebuilding and retooling a little bit, and maybe, you know, David Quinn's going to be running the defense now. We remember David. I'm sure Alexei Lafreniere remembers David Quinn, too. Not very happy memories there. But I would think that this is also so. Who needs to have a really big year for the Rangers? You know, Alexei Lafreniere needs to have a big year for the Rangers.
A bounce back year.
But no, a real year, like a full-on 82 season where he's scoring 30 or more goals and he's got 50 or more assists.
I'd even sign for what we got from him 2 years ago when the Trocheck, Panera, and Lafreniere.
He's got to live up to the money now. And now the other issue for him is whether or not he's going to get any power play time. But people don't realize how hard it is to score 5-on-5. And one of the things that, you know, players get who get these big contracts with all these goals being scored, they get a lot of power play time. Mm-hmm. And for years and years and years here, we had our power play structure, and it was set up for the last couple, 3 years. So guys like Kaapo Kakko, Filip Hedl, and Alexei Lafreniere got very little power play time. So therefore, they didn't score a lot of goals. And therefore, in the eyes of fans, they weren't very successful. But I would just say that somewhere along the line, Lafreniere has got to start getting more power play time if you want to utilize the skills that you drafted him to use.
What I would hope that they're going to do under Mike Sullivan that they haven't done really under either of the last two coaches is have a little bit more balance with the units, because it was always the first unit that was getting 75 to 90% of that power play time, and then the second unit would come on for, you know, a scratch here or there, and that's usually where Lafreniere ended up. So we'll see how they choose to kind of handle that personnel-wise. But two other things I want to do with you before we wrap this up, because we don't want to drag on and on heading into a holiday weekend, on the Chris Kreider trade, because I know, I'm not going to say touched a nerve, but hit home for both of us. Homegrown guy, great career here with the Blue Shirts since he was pretty much a teenager out of college. It seemed like on both sides, there was much more of a healthy mutual respect than what we saw go on with Barkley Goodrow getting waived last summer and then Jacob Trouba eventually getting traded. So from that standpoint, the way Chris Drury handled this, what he said when he spoke to the media yesterday, calling Kreider a true Rangers legend, and what Kreider had to say the day he got traded about how the Rangers and the front office handled it as respectfully and professionally as possible. At least there's no bad blood the way it was last year.
Exactly. And I just, I always wonder about the internal things. And we heard a couple of assistant coaches give past assistant coaches from last year's team.
Michael Peck specifically
talking about some of the drama that was going on around him. I'm like, my God, what are we doing here?
We're talking about it for a year now.
This is an NHL hockey team, for God's sake. Let's get guys in there that want to be here and want to play hard. You know, for Chris, I hope his name and his number gets lifted to the rafters. I believe he's had that kind of impact for the Rangers, especially in the playoffs. He's always been a big game player, always a guy that I admired, never did anything but try to be the best Ranger he could be, and I think somebody we all could be proud of. I hope he plays well for Anaheim. I'm sorry to see him go, but I'm glad it ended amicably, because that's ultimately what we want. We want him back in the franchise sometime when he's done, just like my son-in-law for the Islanders.
Yep.
You know, he retired, he gets hired to the front office, and he becomes a part of the team because of his legacy that he left behind. And that's how I feel about Chris Kreider and the Rangers.
All right, I'm going to do a little exercise with you here, and we're going to take out the contracts, the emotion, the drama. I'm strictly going to go personnel here.
All right.
So we're a little over a year removed from the Rangers losing the Eastern Conference Final to the Panthers in six games, right? And there's been this huge overhaul as far as guys that have left and guys that have come in. So I'm going to go down the list of names that are out and the names that are in. And if you tell me if you're more comfortable or like where the team is at moving forward as opposed to where they were coming out of that series against the Panthers,
you
obviously have won two cups since then. All right. So guys that are gone: Filip Hedl, Barkley Goodrow, Kaapo Kakko, Chris Kreider, Ryan Lindgren, Keandre Miller, Jacob Trouba, Erik Gustafsson, Jimmy Vesey, Zach Jones, Victor Mancini.
Oh, that would be a pretty good team if you put them together.
A lot of big names. And look, there's some other bit parts, you know, trade deadline acquisitions I didn't include in the list. So those guys are out. And for the most part, they've been replaced by JT Miller, Gavrikov, who we mentioned, newcomer, Will Borgen, Carson Soucy, Juho Vaakanainen, Scott Morrow, Sam Carrick, Taylor Radish, who's this new third line forward that they've got, Juuso Parsonen, who you referenced. And then you have to factor in the youth, the guys that are coming up. Will Cooley, who's now on his second contract. Rempe, Edstrom, you mentioned. Brennan Othman, Brett Berard, Gabe Perreault, and Carey Terrence, who they got as part of the Kreider trade.
This is all about the youth on that list. And whether or not the youthful top-end players like a Gabe Perreault or Brennan Othman can really take the next step. And for me, you know, there's always going to be a time where there's going to be turnover, and you got to be realistic about it. The one thing I would say is every player in the league should watch Sam Bennett play hockey. And the way that Sam Bennett plays hockey is the way that I want my players playing hockey, especially if you're a centerman. I want you in the middle of the ice. I want you going after that puck, and I want you just to be a dogged, forechecking pain in the ass, which is what he has become. And the other thing I will just say as we get ready to break here is that I think the team is different. It's going to be interesting. The fact that Gravikov took less money to come here to play with Panarin.
And Igor.
Is really great. I think it's great. And he's got an edge to him. And remember, he played 23 minutes. He averaged 23 minutes time on ice for the Kings. So this guy is 30 years old. He is right in the middle of his prime. And I think it's a great ad, and it's an edgy ad, which is what something we all Ranger fans would want. But I would say this. I think they are a playoff team because of the goaltender. I think they are a playoff team because whoever they decide is the captain, which I think is going to be JT Miller.
That's the next big thing. I was going to bring that up,
that would
too,
be
as
it.
We go.
Yep. That would be my captain or Vincent Trocheck, one of those two. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's going to be a newfound emphasis on forechecking, getting back on defense, no half-assing, because the coach is going to demand that. And we're all behind the coach, who was here when he was an assistant with Tortorella and has won two Stanley Cups. So now the players have all got to respect the coach because he brings the credentials.
That's what's next. These guys have some time off now. I would expect it's going to be relatively quiet, barring something unexpected. They don't really have any much cap space left to work with. Free agency's kind of been a little on the quieter side because of some of the trades we referenced and also what the Panthers did retaining Bennett, Marchand, Aaron Ekblad. That took three names right off the market there.
And that's where the NHL has a real problem.
Yeah, I know.
The NHL has a tax problem. No matter what Gary Bettman said to Paul Bissonnette and everybody else, they have a state tax implication problem, and what it does and how it creates what I believe is it's an unfair imbalance, especially if you are a northern city team, whether you're in Canada or in the States. Like, families want to live in beautiful areas.
Sure.
And they want to live in flip-flops year-round. And there's only a few places you can do that, and they don't have state taxes attached to them. So if you are the Predators, if you are the Panthers, if you are the Lightning.
Vegas, too, right?
And Vegas, too. And yep. And this is why Mitch Marner gets traded there. You know, he gets signed to an 8-year deal with the sign and trade, and at least Toronto got something back, much like we got something back for Keandre Miller. But Mitch Marner is like happy as a clam.
Sure.
He's getting $12 million times eight in a no state tax situation.
And his wife, I'm sure, is thrilled as well.
Absolutely, 100%. And unfortunately, it didn't work out well for he and his hometown, but it's going to work out well with he and Jack Eichel. That mm-hmm. I can tell you.
That's another guy down the road for next summer, potentially, unless signs an extension out there
he'll
in
wanna
Vegas.
He'll want to stay there.
That makes sense. Makes sense. All right, so here we go into July 4th weekend. Couple months before training camp will start to ramp up. So I hope the Rangers, the holdover Rangers, who didn't have any playoff games, are getting their bodies right, enjoying their time. So when they get to camp with Mike Sullivan, it's time to nut up.
I know one thing. Yeah, you're right. I know one thing. It will look like a completely different team because of the coach. And that's a big part of what goes on in the NHL, the system that they're going to play, and the expectations that the coach places on the players. And because of what happened to the Rangers last year, I would expect a very motivated, highly competitive training camp leading into the regular season.
Better be. And hopefully the players, the leaders on this team, the veterans, will be setting the tone. All right, enjoy your July 4th weekend. Enjoy vacation time. Enjoy the summer. And who knows when we'll chat next. It might be closer to the start of the season, pending something unexpected. But this is fun. And Rangers hopefully back on the path to getting to where they want to be.
Same to you and all those Ranger fans out there. Have a great 4th of July.